Good morning, everybody. And thank you for being here to explore the Dharma together today. Thank you to visitors for braving the cold this morning to make it to the temple. Today is Zazenkai, or all-day sitting. And it's also the second day of our weekend Sesshin. So whether you are a Sesshin participant, or if you have joined us for all or part of the day, sit up straight and listen with an open mind and an open heart. Today we'll look at a koan from True Dharma I, Zen Master Dogen's 300 koans. This collection is not a part of our regular curriculum in the Sambo Kyodan School of Zen, but there's some wonderful koans in it. Also points up the fact that Dogen, considered the master who transmitted Soto Zen to Japan, used koans extensively in his teaching. I'll be working from Daido Lori's translation. True Dharma I, case number 31, Deshan's 30 blows. Zen master Xuanjian of Deshan said to the assembly during an informal talk, "I'm not going to give you an answer tonight. Anyone who asks a question will get 30 blows." A monastic came up and bowed. Deshan hit him. The monastic said, "I haven't asked a question. Why did you hit me?" Deshan said, "Where are you from?" The monastic said, "I come from Silla." That's in Korea. Deshan said, "Before you even got on board the ship, you deserve 30 blows." We meet Deshan Xuanjian, whose dates are 782 to 865 of the Common Era, a few times in our regular koan curriculum. We see him as a thoroughly mature Zen master in his 80s, in case number 13 of the Woman Guan. And then, as a young firebrand and ardent defender of the words of the Diamond Sutra, in case 28 of the Woman Guan. And then, as an equally, or even more ardent, iconoclastic destroyer of everything, in case number 4 of the Blue Cliff Record. He came to his first great awakening in a late night conversation with Long Tan. Long Tan was another Dharma grandson of Sherto, who we mentioned yesterday as the author of Identity of Relative and Absolute. Here we have Deshan somewhere in the midpoint of his career as a teacher, using the stick freely to challenge and encourage his students. Zen Master Xuanjian of Deshan said to the assembly during an informal talk, "I'm not going to give you an answer tonight. Anyone who asks a question will get 30 blows. Ask a question, get 30 blows. It's not the job of the teacher to answer questions. It is the job of the teacher to say or do whatever will help the student in that moment." Notice also, he didn't say for nobody to come up. He just said, if you ask a question, you get 30 blows. We hear that term 30 blows or 60 blows a lot in the Zen literature. What is this 30 blows or 60 blows? The number 30 or 60 was used in ancient China the way we might use the term a ton or a whole lot. You know, we say we have a ton of paperwork on the desk. That doesn't mean we have 2,000 pounds of paper. And in the same way, when the master says 30 blows, it doesn't mean he's going to start counting out 30 blows. He is saying, in effect, I'm going to beat on you until you wake up. It's the backhanded Chinese way of making a commitment to the student. In case number 15 of the Wu Men Guan, when Yunmen says to Dongshan Shoushu, that's not the Dongshan from yesterday, he says to him, I spare you 60 blows. That's complete rejection. I'd much rather get the 30 blows than be spared. Wu Men, in his commentary on case number 20 in the Wu Men Guan, says of the master Sung Yun, no one understands him. Yet even if someone could immediately acknowledge him, let him come to me, Wu Men, and be beaten with many blows. Why? Look, if you want to know pure gold, you must see it in the midst of fire. Yes, the job of the teacher is to see and bring out the gold in the midst of fire. And in ancient China, they were not hesitate to light that fire. Bam! The test and the teaching are the same. That style is not so necessary these days. In our lay practice, we are tested and refined in the flames of the marketplace. The unexpected is to be expected. How could I know that there was a nail in the alley that I would run over it in my car and get a flat tire? A sudden shift in the economy and I'm out of a job. A plane crashes in the neighborhood and destroys houses and families. The world is filled with unexpected, unpredictable things, and we deserve neither praise nor blame. If we rely on the world of time, space, and karma, we are leaning upon a very weak reed. What then do we rely on? In transmission number 30 of the Denko Roku, transmission of the lamp, the 30th ancestor, China's third ancestor, Sung Tsang, went to see the 29th ancestor, Wei Ko, and said, your disciple is suffering from a fatal sickness. I beg your reverence, please release me from my sins. The ancestor said, bring me your sins and I will release them for you. The master sat still for a while and then said, I cannot find my sins in spite of all my efforts. And the ancestor said, I have already released your sins for you. You should rely on Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Rely on Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. You can spend a long time looking for reasons. What sins did I commit to deserve this? I must have led a terrible life at some earlier rebirth. And on and on and on. What did I do to deserve this blow? It's a waste of time and energy. This is not to say that sometimes our past, or at least our thoughts about the past, can be overwhelming, even destructive. If you need to do psychological work to deal with it, then by all means do it. But understand that this is not the definitive solution. Psychology is about making the ego work better in time and space. Our practice is to liberate ourselves entirely from the ego self and go beyond time and space, as George pointed out last night. But paradoxically, It takes a strong ego structure to transcend the ego. Rely on Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Rely on the practice and only on the practice. You come before a teacher and get whacked for no reason at all. When did an earthquake need a reason? Or a hurricane? Or a bolt of lightning? Or any of the thousand ills and misfortunes of our lives? It's been said many times, it's not about what happens to you. It's about how you happen. How you react to and deal with all the stuff. And you're sitting there on the mat. Just sit there and do the practice of this moment. Don't worry about, will this happen or will that happen? What choices should I make? Should I get up for Dokusan or just sit it out? Will I get enlightened this session or not? As the poet Wendell Berry points out, the future is not a choice between known outcomes. There are no known outcomes. A monastic came up and bowed. Deshan hit him. How about this, monk? Or maybe a nun. Is this an act of courage? Is it flinging oneself into the unknown, leaping from the cliff with hands held high? I wish more people would come to Dokusan like that. Or is it a ploy? Well, he said, if I'd get hit if I asked a question, so I'll just get up and bow. That'll fix him. He gets up and bows, and bam. Deshan hits him. Now what? How will this monastic react? How do any of us react to an unfair blow? One of my all-time favorite koans is case number 75 in the Blue Cliff Record. A monk came from Zhao Zhou's temple to Wu Ju, who asked him, how does Zhao Zhou's teaching compare to that here? The monk replied, they are not different. Wu Ju said, if they're not different, why don't you go back there and hit him with his stick? The monk said, if your stick had eyes, you wouldn't strike me like that. Wu Ju said, today I have come across a monk, and gave him three more blows. The monk thereupon went out. Wu Ju called after him and said, one may receive unfair blows. The monk turned back and said, what can I do? The stick is in your hands. Wu Ju said, if you want it, I'll let you have it. The monk went up to Wu Ju, seized his stick, and hit him three times. Wu Ju said, unfair blows, unfair blows. The monk said, one may receive them. Wu Ju said, I hit this fellow too casually. The monk bowed. Wu Ju said, is that how you take leave? The monk laughed loudly and went out. Wu Ju said, that is all it comes to. That is all it comes to. What a dance. You just gotta love these guys. These exchanges were public. They took place before the entire assembly of monks and nuns. And I bet the whole crowd was roaring with laughter. Sometimes I think we get a little too grim. We have to take our practice seriously, but not ourselves. Our monastic in this case wasn't quite up to it. Taking himself a little too seriously. The monastic said, I haven't asked a question. Why did you hit me? looking for reasons again. Why did you hit me? What did I do wrong? The whole chain of events fallacy. Looking for what did I do is, in fact, an ego trip. The notion that it must be something I did that caused global warming, world hunger, cancer, all the other terrible things that happen in this world, fill in the blank, is the ultimate in arrogance. Of course, we do whatever we can to help in the moment. But if we attach a notion of a particular cause, and therefore a particular outcome, then we're caught. So Deshan gives it another shot. That's too kind of him. He's an old grandmother. Deshan said, "Where are you from?" Where are you from? How many times do we come across that question in our work with koans? Where are you from? Where do you stand? What about this world of coming and going, birth and death? Where are you in the midst of all that? The monastic said, "I come from Silla." Oh dear. Okay, so he had false notions and he had an agenda. Still, he had the rocks to get up there and face the teacher. And then Deshan said, "Before you even got on board the ship, you deserve 30 blows. This monastic got on a ship to travel to China. That was pretty gutsy in itself in those days. And he had a purpose. He was caught up in cause and effect. If I worked with great master Deshan, I would surely become enlightened." He deserved 30 blows. But then don't we all? Is there anyone here who does not have an agenda? Do we not all intend to work, to let our minds become still and quiet in order that we may clearly see the great reality? There's nothing wrong with that. But once you're here, drop the agenda. Just do the practice. Again, in case 15 in the Woman Guan, Yunmen further says to Dongshan, "You rice bag, why do you wander west of the river and south of the lake?" Yes, why are you searching here, there, and everywhere for something outside yourself? The moment we look away, we richly deserve 30 blows and more. But that's our human condition. We all start that way. The first ox herding picture shows the herdsman leaving his hut to search for the ox, his true nature, as something out there. It's only by the seventh picture is the ox transcended and forgotten as something other. In these koans, Dogen does not include a verse, so I'll add my own. "No answers, there never were any. Still, he walks into the tiger's cave. But why surprise that he gets bitten? Sun rises and sets, rain falls." Deshan's blow. Yunmen's shout. Zhao Zhou's quiet words. All acts of infinite compassion. All bring us out of our thoughts, imagining concerned scenarios and notions about practice and enlightenment, into this very moment. This very moment. Your breath will teach you in this very moment. Your mu will teach you in this very moment. This very moment itself will teach you. Nowhere else. No when else. Practice like that. together with all beings, we realize the way.